Click it. You're recording. Testing 1, 2, 3.
It is.
Are we on?
Going?
Yes, contact.
Okay, welcome to a special meeting concerning airport leases on May 20th, 2015. Can I have a roll call, please?
Before that, I'd like to just add, if you've signed in, please sign in again. It's a separate meeting, so please sign in again, even if you already signed in. Chairman Stevens?
Here.
Vice Chairman Machigian?
Here.
Treasurer Rosenblum?
Here.
Secretary Cushing Adams?
Here.
Director Jackson?
Here.
I'm going to follow the general outline of all of our meetings, and I will ask for public input. If anybody has anything you want to say in relation to our agenda items, which is discussed, our leases and the rates, the duration, the agreement format, and the maintenance upgrade of facilities associated with our properties. Any comments from the public?
Okay. I'd like to make some observations.
Sure, go ahead.
First, I don't know what the Kenneth McLaughlin back there. I don't know what the position of the airport authority is that warrants bringing this up at this time, so I'm at a little bit at a loss as to what my position, how I should elaborate my position. But I don't know your position. Do you have one?
Well, I'm not going to answer that right now. It's going to come up in our public in our discussion for today's agenda.
Say that again, please.
I'm not going to answer that right now. We can address that during the meeting.
Well, I think it's probably important that we understand what the intended and the unintended consequences might be in the event that the authority decides to change the formula for example, the CPI or a rent increase for land rental. I'd like to address that if it's relevant to what the authority is going to be considering.
I agree. And you'll have the opportunity to participate in the meeting, but I can't answer your questions because I don't know what the consensus of the board is at this point.
Let me
clarify. The meeting that we've called a special meeting for leases is going to be, and you're preempting me a little bit, I was going to announce this after public input at the start of the meeting, but it's primarily a strategy, brainstorming, information collecting. What do we do? What are our next steps? No decisions will be made, no action taken during this meeting.
I understand, and I appreciate the opportunity of setting forth what my position is on some of the relevant facts. I think that before I do that, it's important that we understand that there are intended consequences to revision of a document such as this, and there are unintended consequences. And I'd like to share with you what I feel some of the serious unintended consequences might be in the event that the authority felt they wish to change some of the fundamentals in the lease. I'd like to bring to your attention the fact that when a bank is approached to finance the acquisition of a T-hangar or another hangar at the National Airport, they are concerned with certain fundamentals. Those fundamentals have been put to rest, and now they're on the table. And I think it's very important that you understand that if you change certain fundamentals, you're going to have a serious adverse effect on the ability of the owners of these T-hangars and other hangars at the National Airport to get the confidence of the banks to loan the money. Now, when this was first became a serious concern, many years ago, when the airport was having difficulty trying to finance the construction of the development of the Nashua Airport. It was very, very difficult, as the former manager could tell us, for anybody to go to the bank and to borrow money. And I'm going to tell you the reasons for that. First, the slippery slope of the title of the Nashua Airport was something that was very difficult for bankers to understand. The first question they were asked was, who owns the airport? Well, the Nashua Airport is owned by the city of Nashua. But they're going to run it. No. They lease it. Who do they lease it to? Nashua, wait a minute now. I mean, they own it, but so you're asking us to loan money on leased land? Is that what you're asking? Well, not only that, but they're leasing it to the Airport Authority, which has semi-autonomy, not complete autonomy. And they're going to lease it to my client. Well, wait a minute now. You're asking us to loan money to land that's subleased? We're not interested. We've got enough problems. We've got all kinds of loans that are in default. The last thing we want to concern ourselves with is the slippery slope of having double leased land. And we're not interested. And they were. And the Nashua Airport had extreme difficulty, unless somebody had the cash, to build a building. Because they couldn't get financing, and the bank didn't want to touch it. So the Airport Authority at that time, which was prior to the previous manager, came to me and they said, listen, is there anything we can do to stabilize the situation so that we can develop the airport and get more investors to build buildings? And I said, listen, they said, we'd like to have you see what you can do. I met with the presidents of the three banks. They wouldn't meet together. I met with them separately, and I told them in the interest of the city of Nashua and the future of the city of Nashua, they ought to take a hard look at this and told me to please approve creditworthy applicants to build aircraft hangars at the Nashua Airport. And they said, well, you know, we've talked this over with our loan officers, and they don't want to touch it because they're not sure of who the hell owns the land up there and who's going to be in a position to change the terms and conditions and how often are they going to change the terms and conditions. And if they do, our security is out the window. So we've got enough problems in the banking industry. I'm going back 25, 30 years. We got enough problems, and they still got it, of course. We got enough problems without taking this on. What kind of a title can you give us so that we can feel we can loan money? Well, I said, you know, let me talk to the authority, because I'm not sure. They don't own the property. They don't have title. So it was a long process. I'm not going to take up anybody's time on it now, but there was a long process that went through at the time of coming up with the lease. And everybody involved, including the banks and eventually the loan officers of the banks, meeting, they would meet together with the bank president. There was only three banks at the time. And the loan officer sat down at the table like this, and they went through the same type of rigmarole as we're talking about now. And then they said, well, now, let's suppose the city decides not to renew the lease. What are we going to do with our buildings? What are we going to build them? At the present time, most of the airport was a swamp. Now, why I brought that up is because the water table was so high up here, it was very difficult to to get commercial certification to build a building. I said, one table sometimes is only 5-6 feet below the surface. Other times you can see them. At that time you could, of course, because it wasn't drained the way it is today. It wasn't an easy situation. They met amongst themselves, and I tried to appeal to them, their patriotic instincts and say, listen, make the city grow. We've got to have an airport. And you've got to have a stable title. And I will do what I can to help to stabilize it, but I don't call the shots. Airport Authority says, what can we do here to make this thing work? And I said, well, you got to have a level playing field. Everybody's got to be treated the same. You can't have favoritism where one bubble is paying so much a square foot, another bubble is paying another amount of square foot, and who's in favor and who's out of no. It's all got to be equal. Everybody treated the same, and the loan officer said that's the first step. And the second was they wanted to understand the airport layout plan, the ALP plan. We have a good plan. Still is. They then said, well, suppose the city doesn't renew the lease. What? I said, let me work on that. I can't give you any assurances to what they'll do, but I knew that they want continuity because they backed the Enabling Act in the legislature to start the import, and part of which that Enabling Act contained a clause that allowed the Airport Authority to tax all residents of the city of Nashua a certain amount of mills to finance the capital improvements of the airport. So I said, you know, they're not gonna do away with the airport. Okay. What about the Airport Authority? How often do they change? Are they gonna come in and change the ground rules? This is a slippery slope without having some other, without talking about a lessee of land going to now lease the land to a sub-lessee, and we're interested in security. How much security are we going to have? Are they going to change it every 15 minutes? And I said, let me go back and talk to them and explain the situation. And what do you need? They said, we want to know that the title is going to be constant. Now, to them, the title means that the cost of ownership isn't going to be affected by something other than city real estate taxes, which we all knew was in effect and would continue to be in effect. So that's where the question of the CPI came up. That's where the question of how many cents a square foot, that's where the question, amongst other things, of whether it was airside or not airside, came up per square foot. And that was all discussed and gone back to the loan offices. And then they said, well, listen, you know, we want to know if this is these are going to be insurable titles. That meant they had to go to the insurance companies that were going to issue title insurance. Well, of course, we sat down with them, and they sat down and they started through the whole thing again. Who owns the property? And you're going to sublease it from a lessee, and that lessee is going to a term lease that is not going to be coincidental with the lease that our applicant for a mortgage is going to, et cetera. So, and I'm taking up too much time. Everybody wants to go home. In order for this thing to work, everybody had to put their 2 cents into the lease. When they met with the people in Burlington and they're concerned about red lights, I met with this and that. Finally, the insurance company said, listen, you really feel there'll be some assurance here that there will be a stable title and it won't be affected by arbitrary increases in land rent? I said, no. what they promised is that they'll have a basic rent, so much a square foot, equally applied to everybody and anybody. This is what it will be. So much one side, so much commercial, and that the only adverse effect will be to consider CPI. Well, which CPI? They went around the world on that. But it doesn't make much difference on the CPI. There's not that much difference which one you pick. And finally, they came to the conclusion that, yeah, we'll buy the titles under those conditions. They sat down with members of the authority. Mr. LaBamba was one of the principal members at that time. They said, we'll loan money. We realize it's a slippery slope. We just hope that nobody comes around and monkeys with it. We'll loan money. And they were very concerned at the time about capital improvements and expenditures at the airport, which was basically a swamp with a small road down the middle of it. They were concerned about the operation of this airport as to who was going to finance it and pay for it. And of course, we had the authority at that time to tax the entire city of Nashville, so many mills per real estate thousand, to pay for the airport. So that took the heat off, because I said to the users of the airport that which are your customers, they're going to be applying to buy Bill Dehaggett. They can't build the airport. They will be responsible for operational expenses, not responsible for capital expenditure. Okay. And that's the way the airport ran. And fellas like Randall sitting over here ran it, and as of 2011, there was
750,000
in cash in the National Airport Authority checking account of CDs. And since 2011, you blew it. Good. And now everybody says, well, we should pay for capital expenditures. Users cannot and never were anticipated to pay for capital expenditures for the development of the National Airport. That's not even owned by the National Airport Authority. It's owned by the city of Nashville. And they might say, oh, well, we don't want to pay. Well, they can say that. That doesn't absolve them of their responsibility. And, you know, if we were asked to go down to make that presentation to the city alderman, we would do it. But we've never been asked. So I just say to you, this isn't going to affect MAC Air or Nashville Jet. Our leases are long leases, you know? So that's not the point. The point is that all these other investors that own real estate in Nashville that have families and responsibilities that own tea hangers and otherwise, if their title is adversely affected and the banks frown on it, I just left the bankers meeting up here for an hour and a half, and the bankers frown on it, their value of their buildings is going to hell in a basket, excuse me. And we can't have that happen. So I just want to submit that to you folks for background information on unintended consequences of, you know, there's some things you can fool with, that you can change the speed of the rules and all that other stuff. That doesn't affect the title. What you're talking about now affects the title. You have to be awfully careful as to how you do this, because when you go in to borrow money today, what they're doing is they're looking most of the time for a reason not to give it to you. That's all I've got to say. I'm sorry I took up so much time.
Well, it was worth it. Thank you. Other public input? Okay, let's start this meeting. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss our lease agreements, and the reason it's a separate public meeting is so we can have an easy reference to listen to the minutes, to review the minutes, and so that we can focus on this topic, at least initially, in a pure, open format, informal strategy session, okay, brainstorming session. Any comment, any idea is on the table. I want to have this separate so that we could not go through the necessary agenda and all the other reports and committees, but to actually look each other in the eyes and talk about a major problem and how we move forward to find solutions to it. Okay? And I've asked for this special meeting to actually have a strategy meeting. You know, let's sit back, identify the issues, and what we're going to do. So, any comment before we start into actually the down and dirty? Okay. A little bit of history. I think we do need to take into consideration that the comments made by Judge McLaughlin concerning the security of the leases in the bank's eyes. And for one of the reasons we're starting this process is that the authority is already being approached, because the term on a large majority of our leases are short-term, under 10 years, and their marketability is low. There is no agreement going past 10 years. Initially, these leases were written for 20 years plus a 20-year option, which everybody automatically renews because it's the lessee's option, not the lessor's, not the authority's option. We've already granted 40 years. So with a 40-year lease, I would imagine the banking is secure, the title is secure, and I don't think that in our history we've had any arbitrary changes to our lease rates. They've been pretty much set in stone. But concerning the rates themselves, my preliminary investigation, nothing more than just reading a couple rags on the websites concerning commercial real estate, is that our lease rate of 0.05 cents for based on a 1982 basis, it was not uncommon back in early 80s, in the mid 80s. Most of our leases were written in 1985-87, more than half of them were. And during that time frame, 0.05 cents was a good number. However, in the retail, the real estate boom of the late 80s, early 90s, until it hit the big crash, and then successive booms since then, the going rate is more like the 10 to 12 cent per range. So what we're doing at 5 cents is extremely subsidized at this point. Up to this point, we haven't had to worry about it. We've had a positive cash flow, and there is no reason for a nonprofit organization like the Airport Authority to ask for more. In comparison, our sister airports in the area have, I want to just break and ask Steve to give us an idea of what the local airports in the area are charging per square foot. And realize, this is the rates they gave us as of today. This is what their leases are today, and it should be compared not to our 5 cents, but to our CPI adjusted 11.3 cents, which is our 2015 lease rate.
Sorry, I wasn't prepared to speak to that.
Off the top, then, Keene is at 25 cents, right?
Keene is 16 to 25 cents, yep.
I can't hear a word you're saying, a little louder.
Keene Airport is at 16 to 25 cents per square foot.
What airport?
Keene.
Say where the par was.
And we had some other airports. We're getting information from other airport managers. Parlin was 25 to 40.
No. Parlin was very, very low. West Lebanon was at 6 to 8 cents, I think, and they're looking to renew their leases at 23 cents.
Yep.
So the current, can I butt in, Dennis?
Yes.
So the concern I have with those rates, when Steve first started, gathering information, I talked to him about a while ago when this came up, and you can gather information from all the different airports, and I said narrow it down to New Hampshire, because we're in New Hampshire, and then, you have to compare, who's paying what. The National Guard is paying a fortune over at Keys for whatever, that's government money, I'm assuming. So there's all different things, and we have to take into consideration why these rates are different, not just, they're getting that much. Well, why? What are they offering? What do they have? Where's it coming from? We get a good deal from the city for our lease rate here. So we have to, put everything in perspective, not just look at that big number, right?
Agreed. And we have to look at snow removal is included, or taxes being paid, that kind of stuff. But the overall consensus, just the preliminary investigation is that other airports are charging a lot more, and even double what we're charging. Another thing that we need to consider are the duration and terms of our lease and the renewals. If somebody wants to come in and renew their lease today or acquire the rights to build a new hangar, what lease are we going to give them? Are we going to give them a 40-year lease? Like we have been doing and not change the format whatsoever, or are we going to change that? I think everybody who's read at least recently closely would agree that our current format is somewhat confusing and it could use clarification. So I would say that the third item we need to really address is, it's standardized a new format. Pretty much offering the same guarantees, the same security that any investor needs with their banking, but it would be even a better, more secure document. And then finally, with these properties that are coming, we're gonna have a lot of people coming to us asking for lease extensions on their previous 40-year lease. Do we want them to invest in their properties to improve their appearance? Whether it be a paint job or a new skin job or a concrete replacement or bring in utilities. Right now, pretty much there's no capital, no policy for requiring them to do any capital investment in their properties. So with that said and done, again, I'm going to just open up the floor. Any comments on which one you think we should tackle first and what your feelings are about it?
I think the most important item is the duration of the leases, terms, and renewals. As you pointed out, I believe there are 27 leases that are going to reach maturity in less than 10 years.
12.
Yes. 12 years, less than 12 years. I guess we have a tendency here, we have been doing, looking up board maybe 20, 30 years in advance, looking to see what the airport's going to look like and how we're going to treat some of the older units that don't meet current standards as far as construction is concerned. But my thought is, just like Mr. McLaughlin, Judge McLaughlin has said, that I don't want to tread too strongly on the issue, but this is a great opportunity with those first, that first group of 27 to address possibly a new format. Maybe the agreement language could be generic, somewhat. My thought was that we'd have a lease agreement, and if we had businesses operating, they would be operating at a different rate for the same agreement. Condominiums, maybe a different rate than initial T-hangers. But I thought we would, I think the major concern I have is the fact that people that own these hangers that have less than 12 years on their lease, if they were willing to, interested in selling those hangers, I don't know who would buy them under the terms that we have today. We had mentioned something like an evergreen lease. I think you brought that up, Dennis, where it was a continual annual renewal. And so that there would be no time out. There'd be certain conditions in that. Now, I'm just giving a big picture here, but I guess my primary concern is those leases that have a short term left are the ones that I guess I'm concerned about. And if we're going to make changes in the language, I was hoping for a generic lease.
I think we would all agree it would be nice to have one lease format, maybe with different purposes, as you pointed out, for jet hangers versus condo hangers and businesses and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But let's stick with the duration and terms and renewals, and see what other comments we have there. I've mulled around with the idea of an evergreen lease, and by evergreen I mean it has a term that's acceptable to most banks, say like 15 years, and every year it renews to a 15-year lease. And it's not something that is so long and so far out that the authority, if for any reason we have a change in master plan, or we don't want a hangar there, or it's not being kept up, all we have to do is put them on notice and cancel their lease. And then 15 years, the land reverts back to the authority. Okay, but it would be a constant 15 years. So it would never decline less than 14 years. So at any time, that lease can be transferred, the assets sold, and the person will always be guaranteed a banking of 14 plus years. That's just one option. And it could be a 10-year evergreen, it could be a 20-year evergreen. But part of the my thoughts on the term is that we don't want to grant somebody some unbelievably long term. I don't think that's responsible thinking ahead for the future of the airport. What if things change? Especially if the only thing that would probably hurt that idea would be the banks, and if somebody wants to finance something over 20 years, they wouldn't have that. But then again, we could have a flexible. We'd have to decide on the length of that term. We got some silent people here.
As far as the rates are concerned, I just wanted to get back to try to clear the air on the rates. I mean, the rates are specified in the leases, individual leases, either by CPI or whatever. So, in all of the leases that I understand, I've gone through three or four of them anyway. Basically, it boils down to the airport authority has the right to change the rates. So that's a given. We don't have to argue about that or even discuss that. That's a given. I guess the other part is, which has always been my concern, is the duration of the 27 with less than 12 years. And I don't know if any individuals here have a lease that's going to expire in less than 12 years. Does anybody have one of those leases? Can't even begin.
What?
Joe?
Our building current lease expires July 2024, but we already have an approved 20-year extension.
Oh, okay.
And our building does too. I can read it to you if you'd like.
Okay, good. Now, it does state that the terms can be renegotiated in 2024.
That doesn't really mean anything. I mean, you know, renegotiate all the terms, you might as well write a new lease. I mean,
if I can offer, mine says the Boerfield Condominium Association to the lessee shall have the option to extend this lease for an additional terms of 20 years from the first day of June 2024, providing the lessee is not in default hereunder. The option to extend provided for by this shall be exercised, if at all, as follows. And item two is this additional term shall be subject to renegotiating of all terms and conditions.
Right.
So that would suggest that the term is going to be 20 years, but the CPI and associated other parts of the lease are available for discussion.
So what's the date of that lease?
When was this done?
Right.
John Gill was the chairman of Nash Airport Authority. It was signed 9/20/04. It looks 04. And Shirley.
2004.
Yep.
So you're good to go until 2044.
No,
that's a second.
The second 20-year of our original lease goes through 2024, and this says that essentially that we're good through 2044, assuming that we can agree on additional terms.
Probably the best lease out here right now, the most recent lease. So you know, personally, the way I look at that is that we're not touching your lease until 2044 unless we can mutually agree to something that you like and we like. So we're not really discussing your lease. We have 48 leases, and there's like four of them in that situation where they're so far out. But we're talking about the guys who need to renew. I think the closest one, maybe Hangar 7, it might be expiring in 7 or 8 years. And then there's another, I forget the quantity, 23 or so that were original leases in 85 to 87, and they will be expiring in the next 12 years. Okay?
Well, if I can provide a little more input, you know, Joe and I are interested because we assume that what you do with those people will then become precedent for us in 2024.
2024.
Because in 2024 we just get guaranteed 20 more years, but the dollars and the other terms are negotiable.
They don't get the same terms.
Oh, right. Yeah. So
the terms that you guys agree on, you guys negotiate, really do affect us.
Yes, because we have to renegotiate the lease in 2024. Okay, so you pretty much aren't good to 2044. Cross that out. But you're exactly right. And don't misunderstand the intent here. My intent personally is to make leases stronger for the investor. Okay. Ultimately, a more secure document, something that you don't have to worry about expiring in 20 years or 40 years, but something that you can make sure that your great-grandchildren can take over if they want to become pilots or something. And let me get my idea through here. And that's why I'm thinking evergreen. Okay, and a little bit more assurances, because at this time the Airport Authority doesn't want to become building owners as well as landowners, and we want to encourage investment and ownership, private ownership at the airport. So I think our current, our forefathers, what they've established is working. Okay, what's not working is that we need to balance the budget. and we need to be thinking about what rates, what, how can we make our leases a little more secure for the investors, make them happy with the improvements, and how do we adjust our rates, not just now, but 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. There has a way to keep our rates adjusted according to our budget requirements. Yes, sir.
I'd like to sort of take a little step back and look at the bigger picture, in that the current operations of the Airport Authority, the income does not cover our expenses. So there's a need to have additional revenue. Lease income represents about 55 to 60% of our budget. And if there's a way that works for both the leasor and the lessee to renegotiate a standard contract at a fair rate, so that enough revenue is generated for the authority, not necessarily be at market rate compared to the other airports in the area, but just enough to cover our current and future expenses, I think that's a goal that we should aim to do. This way, it would be predictable for any banks that would want to loan money, and also the leases will be standard compared to what we currently have. At some point, I feel it necessary to get our own attorney to be involved in sort of generating the nitty-gritty once we decide on what the process is. But I would not object to going out and asking tenants to start a brand new 20-year lease with new terms to see if that would be acceptable based on a new lease rate.
I agree, because right now our lease rate is based off of 5 cents of 1982 land lease. Five cents per year. Our current budget, as you mentioned, is like 310. Our current income is like $310,000 on a $500,000 income. So it's a good 60%. To make up our deficit, we only need to increase our revenue by $60,000 to $80,000 a year. Okay, that would be a 20% increase in that 5 cents. So a 20% increase in that 5 cents is 6 cents, one penny. So it goes from 5 cents to 6 cents. It goes from 11.3 to 13 cents, okay? It's such a minor item, but since we have such a humongous territory, okay, and so in 48 contracts with generating $300,000 of income, that 20%, that $60,000 is very doable with low impact to each individual lessor. And, you know, but it also keeps our books in the black. But I also want to be flexible. So we fixed the problem today. We have no idea what's the problem going to be 5 years or 10 years from now. I'm going to throw this out there. It'd be nice to establish the rate on our budget, or be able to, or have the ability to bring back up the rate negotiations. Say like every 5 years for the airport overall, based on our budget needs, and not sit back and wait for the next 20 years to talk about rate adjustment. So I think there needs to be some security on rates, protect the investors, but there also needs to be a way for us to legitimately, fairly go back in and say, hey guys, sorry, but once every 5 years go and say, sorry, we have to raise the lease rates another 10% because we have new requirements. And new requirements to our budget happen. What happened this year to our budget? The new requirements, our expenses. We had dental, health, workers' comp all hit us at once for approximately $40,000 this year, and that will continue to hit us every year coming forward, okay? So, and despite the fact that we're trying to squeeze our rents down, I mean our employee costs down.
That's something. Look like you're thinking.
No, right.
I'd like to add a little insight to this, because I remember 10 years ago, in 2004, when the lease that Wes read off from, we had the same problem back then. All the T-hangers were coming up to a point where, as they are now, they only had 10 years left. People were very concerned that they weren't going to be able to sell them, and rightfully so. That's when we let me back up just a little bit further than that, because what you're saying about the 5 cents is exactly correct. However, I think it was around 1998 or 9, we increased that for all new building on the airport. We went from 5 cents to 10 cents on the air side, and went from 10 cents to 20 cents on the land side. So there are leases on both sides that are, some people are paying 10, some are paying 20, based on, you know, those numbers. What we did in 1994, when these, you know, all of these leases were coming up and people were concerned, is we went to an attorney, Steve Frasca, and he changed some of the wording in the leases because he felt they, it was all of the thing, and some of you can remember, it was like you would multiply and divide and about four times in it, and you still come up with the same number. And he said, get all of that ambiguous stuff out of the lease and tell them, you know, this is going to be your rate. As of this day, you're leasing X amount of square feet, and you take the rate at that time, which was be 10 cents a square foot, times the CPI multiplier. Your rent is $329.10 a month, and you're going to be subject to a CPIW, I think it's biannual, every 2 years. So that got the...
Unfortunately, those leases are the most confusing, okay, and have not been followed for the last 10 years.
Well, we haven't implemented it.
Because each one is independent, each one is separate, each one... So if it takes somebody every 2 years to go through 48 leases, figure out the terms, and then apply the adjustment, that's what the difficulty is, okay? Whereas instead of taking, if you just take the formula every 2 years and apply it to everybody the same way, that's more consistent.
We did.
Not according to these. No, we have some that are very different.
And very recent, okay?
This one is 2000.
And I've got some 10-cent leases. I got some 5-cent leases after 10-cent leases. So for some reason, it was like a good plan was going forward, but it was temporarily forgotten for some leases. Okay, and I can see sign that the leases were increased to 10 cents recently.
No, but that was the intent behind giving the third 20-year lease. Because if people were concerned, that they weren't going to have anything past, you know, it was originally a 20 and a 20.
Right.
But a lot of these guys were coming up with, to 12 or 13 years left on their second lease.
Yeah. Well, so actually, nobody at all is in that category right now. It just now is occurring. I mean, these leases, I can't think of any lease earlier than 1982. A lot of leases, majority of them are 80, 85, and they won't even be coming up to their 10, 12 mark, well, they are right now, okay? So And I can see somebody coming and saying, you know, over the last decade, I don't have 20 years left. But they certainly have had 10 to 15.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the lease that Les has got, or Wes has got, his original lease was what? 1984. That went to 94.
Right.
Then it
2004.
2004. Then it would have gone to 24. That's all they had at one time until
right.
the airport authority made a resolution to extend anybody who wanted an additional 20 years, terms and conditions to be renegotiated. The thought was that at that time, when at the end of that 40 years, when they got that additional 20 years, they would bring that 5 cent basic rate up to the 10 cent plus
right.
the adjuster on it.
Right.
And that would add income. And you know, the lease rates around here have been very reasonable, I think.
Yeah, my point is we don't even need to go to 10 cents. Okay, if right now, if every lease we had was at 10 cents, we'd be making $250,000 excess every year. We don't need to do that. We don't need to charge that much. Okay, we just need to charge enough to balance our budget, period. And every 2 years, we'll have the opportunity to do that with a CPIW, because we don't have to increase our rates as much as the CPIW allows us to. We just need to balance our budget.
Oh, I understand that.
Okay, so I guess my point is, so it's nice to have some of the history, thanks. The question is how do we, in order to just increase our rates, I'm going to use 30%, okay, because I think it should be somewhere between 20 and 40, sit down and do the math. But if we're going to increase, if we can get every leaseholder to increase their lease payments by 30%, unless they're already in that 10 cent category where we need to drop their lease, okay, then we have a minor problem. However, because whatever we do, we can't fix it with just, you know, 12 leases that might be expiring and they want to renegotiate. That's why I'm saying we need to make a stronger lease. If somebody today would want to say, hey, I want to jump on that lease, even though it has a different rate calculation. Yes, sir.
Quick question. This came up a few years ago. When does the airport's lease with the city next expire? I think Roy had to renegotiate that in order to get some new leases back in the
2047, I think.
How was it calculated?
I'm sorry.
There are no.
He wanted to know when our lease with the city gets renewed.
Right.
I have the audit.
Is there such a thing?
No, I think it's a fixed rate. It's like a dollar.
A dollar for 50 years.
Well, can we give them $2? Go over 100.
Because and the reason I ask is that, and I believe Roy wrestled with this or negotiated this, there was a point at which the airport could not offer a lease renewal for 20 years or a new lease for 20 and 20 because that would extend beyond the city's lease with the airport.
So but I think we can do that as long as we make that lease subject to the, you know, within the terms of the lease with the airport. But that would allow us to continue with lease renewals and just take up the situation with the airport. Eventually, we got to make sure that the airport is going to give us at least the 15 to 20 years it takes for someone to finance their purchases or their construction program. I think that's a side issue. I can't imagine the city revoking their lease.
I don't think they have the right to revoke the lease. Chapter 343 was a state law, and it was dictated that the municipalities would develop the National Airport Authority to run this business. And it's continual.
And gives us the authority to tax the citizens of Nashua to pay for our fees, which we don't do.
Well,
they fought for that years ago and didn't win somehow.
See, that's
do you remember that, Judge, when that happened? When the airport authority went to the city and asked for the tax money that they felt it was due.
What's your question, Mr.?
Do you remember when the airport authority approached the city for tax money that we believe we're entitled to, which you mentioned before, where, you know, we have the ability. Do you remember, and it was turned down and fought and lost in court and all that?
Well, at the time, it was a, I'd have to rely on Shane insofar as the dates are concerned. The Enabling Act was changed so that the taxing capability of the airport was canceled.
Okay.
And nobody cared. The airport was doing quite well. I can't tell you the date on that. Do you know the date?
64. 1964. 1964. 64. 64. 64.
Okay.
64. 64. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much null and void now, so we can't
even. Yeah, if I could just talk for a comment, Shane McLaughlin, for the record. The language that was changed in the amendment to the Enabling Act, and it's the only amendment the Enabling Act has ever had, Chapter 343 of the public laws, was that the language originally provided that the city of Nashua shall assess 1 mil mm-hmm. on the assessed valuation of all of the real estate in the city of Nashua mm-hmm. that was taxable, and that 1 mil would be provided to Nashua Airport in its entirety for the purpose of operating the airport. And then 2 years later, in 1964, Sandy, it might have been 1966,
mm-hmm.
but one of those dates
around
is correct.
There, yeah.
Okay. 2 years later, there was an event in the legislature, and that word shall was
May.
Changed to may.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lobbying effort, and apparently the city fathers, I'm speculating now, but there was a push to have that done. But the important consideration, and I'll leave it at that, the important consideration is, as many of you may know, when you have provisional language in a statute, even though it's changed from shall to may,
mm-hmm.
the may language has been consistently held by courts to not be optional forever. Otherwise, that means that the language was meaningless and there's no point in having had it in the first place.
Good point.
So the courts will say that if you make an argument, it's a legitimate, reasonable argument, that you ought to get some money from the city. Now, you can quibble over the 1 mil, because we've got billions of dollars of real estate, and 1 mil is millions of dollars on a billion. But the fact of it, and the fact of you having a leg to stand on at some point, is presumed to be so, and that a court would uphold that if you're in a position to make the argument. You don't want to ever have to get there to that extent. But my point is, because although it was changed to May,
mm-hmm.
the authority, were I sitting on the authority, I would not consider that to be fait accompli and no more, we can't do it.
Well, it's my understanding, and from Roland. Roland mentioned to me before that they did attempt to go at one point, and they lost in court.
Yeah, Sandy, that may have been the case, but I think my dad may not have heard the question. That did occur, and I don't know when that was. My understanding was that there was a request. I don't know how forcefully it was pushed.
Okay.
Because during much of the development of the airport, the cost was low and the state subsidy was high. And so matching funds were available from the state.
And just so everybody knows, what 1 mil equates to, Director Mushigan did the calculation, and it is how much?
I did my fractured math. Actually, that went from shall to may in 1963. And I made a presentation to the CIC in the city about two months ago, and I mentioned the aeronautical fund. And of course, it's like went right over their heads. They had no knowledge of the aeronautical fund. So I explained it to them that it was 1 mil on the assessed evaluation, tax evaluation of the entire city properties, which was last year $8.6 billion. And in my fractured math, I came out with $86,000. Now, I think it might be $860,000, but I'm not going with the zeros.
You just need to leave three to
$0.001
Right.
So you need to leave 6 million. And that's 8 million.
But that's
No, three zeros.
That's $1.
$8.6 million.
Three zeros. That's $1 per thousand.
.0001.
It's money we could use.
So clean it up.
No, 8 billion, delete three zeros, you get 8 billion.
$8.6 million.
Did you, you didn't find it?
I still can't accept that figure myself personally. Let me just finish on something. See, that's the elephant that's in the room. Ken, you mentioned that we're not supposed to, users aren't supposed to support grants, federal grants. We're only supposed to support the budget. But we're in a position, we've been put in a position to where we want to continue making improvements in this facility. And I guess my point was that all along this last 6 years I've been here, we've been crying poor mouth. You know, we've been the pariahs in the city. When you go to the city and ask for money, they reject you. The mayor called and said, we're not going to support your request. We only asked for $136,000 this year. That was $50,000 to remove the fuel farm, and the other $86,000 was to pay off the 5% for the grant money that we didn't have the funds for. I mentioned the aeronautical fund to her, and it was like, don't go there. Don't even bring that up, okay? So I did notice with interest that in June the 1st we have a meeting, and they identified us as the National Airport Authority Aeronautical Fund. Now, I don't know if anybody's got the chutzpah to bring that up at that meeting and ask for that kind of money.
I'll do it.
I know she will. But we've always been rejected. So I'm not saying we're passing that on the shoulders of the users in order to continue making physical improvements to the plant. But that's always been in my mind that if we want to continue making a Class A airport, the users have to pay for it. We have no money. The only money we have is what we get from you.
Can I respond to that?
Yes, Ken.
You know, there's a reason that the city doesn't feel obligated to pay any money to the National Airport, and that is because the National Airport Authority has consistently told the Board of Aldermen they don't need any money.
Don't want
We're
any.
Self-supported. I saw Mr. Davidson on television just a few years back standing up before the Budget Committee and then the full Board of Aldermen saying, when I was mayor, I made the decision that the Airport Authority should be self-supporting. And since then to now, we haven't come to the city. Of course, he had $740,000 in cash that he hadn't put in, contributed a nickel to, but that we had. And he tells the airport, he tells the city fathers, we don't need you. We don't need any money from the city of Nashua.
I know, Ken, I agree.
And
I mean,
you got an excellent point, and we've had this discussion. We agree with you 100%, and we're moving to fix that. I think it's, and I think you and I agree, it's irresponsible for this organization not to ask the city for money every single
year.
And the
way to do it, Mr. Chairman, is to get the support of the users.
Yes.
To present your argument to the city fathers.
Well,
I mean,
the issue there is not the city fathers, it's the mayor. Something goes on the budget, it only takes 8 votes to remove it, 10 votes to put something on that she didn't put on. Or the mayor, okay? So.
And she was told by Davidson, we don't need any money, we don't need your money. But listen,
and that's pretty much what she did.
She is gone.
Well, let me tell you what we did this budget season, okay? The mayor called me, she called most of the board, and she got our opinion. And what the board had done is that we had gotten together, agreed on what or stance was, and we all told her the exact same thing. And that's why when she hit every single one of us with, I'm not going to put anything in your budget this year, we all came back to her with two requests that we considered to be our last stance. And the end result was she hit us with the one request with a promise to try to fund the second one with her discretionary escrow funds. Okay?
I agree with you, but you've got to understand the reality. She's gone.
Not yet.
We gotta work on it now.
Not yet.
We're here. And when you're talking about raising the rent for 20 years or 30 years or whatever else it is, you know, we can go to the airport, we can go to the alderman, and we can go to the new mayor, whoever it happens to be, and make our case and substantiate the position of the airport authority rather than having you go down by yourself and stand up there. It's easy to say no to you. But when you get the whole constituency here at the airport to go up and make a presentation to them, I can't guarantee you'll get a different result.
I think you got a point, but also our stance has to be credible, okay? And right now, the alderman and the mayor they know some facts behind the scenes. They know that our rental rate is 5 cents a square foot. They're asking, why is it 5 cents? I mean, who is leasing anything at 5 cents? The typical commercial property around the national community is 25 cents in comparison. Well, actually, our 5 cents is not really 5 cents. It's 11.3. So it's 11.3 cents is what our adjusted rate is compared to 25 cents.
And why it's 11.3, Mr. Chairman, is because the CPI has brought it up.
Yes.
From what it was considered to be a reasonable return when this was a swamp, and it's brought up. Everybody has paid all the way up to 11.3%.
Yes.
And then when you turn around and say that other airports are charging more money, and you use as an example Keene or some other failure, they look to us. Nash was a success, not them. Now, if they want to go up and charge 25, take a ride to Keene, take a ride to Rochester, take a look at those airports. Zip. Go up to Lebanon. Take a ride up to Laconia. And look at the condition of the building. Look at the airport. Look at the development. These people don't know how to run an airport. That's why they look to Nashua. And when the state of New York finally came to the conclusion that the way they could bring in business was to give a 10-year tax relief, to cut back on gratuities, cut back on income tax, cut back on real estate tax, encourage business to come, they flourished, and they are flourishing today. So you don't make success by increasing rates. You know, just take a walk around our airport and see what happened when we increased the rates of parking.
Okay, so what do you suggest? And to counter that, over the last 25, 30 years, this airport has been very successful in raising money and being in the excess and putting money aside to put the $700,000 in a bank account. But that has been with a Daniel Webster College, that has been with extremely high fuel usage and landings, okay? And we're in a decline. We're half of our landings. We don't have Daniel Webster's anymore. Our FBOs aren't even renting tie downs from us anymore. And we're strangled, okay? This airport authority does not have the funds to operate on an annual basis, much less put a single penny into the capital improvements, okay?
And you can't expect the users to pick up that operational deficit.
Well, I guess what I need is for the users to tell us that 11 cents to 13 cents is not possible, okay? Because we need a small percentage increase to make ends meet. You know, when I did a calculation on a 13-hangar complex that is paying $4,000 to the authority annual rent, it came out to $25 per month per hangar. I'm asking that individual hangar owner, okay, to raise his numbers to $30. okay?
Well.
Can I offer a?
From 25, $5 a month, okay? Well, if that's 20%, if it's twice that, 40%, then it'd be $10 a month. So it goes from $25 to $35 a month, and that's, the airport doesn't need to double its rates. It just needs to make our budget. So.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you take, that's the individual TIA problem. You take somebody like us, we're paying $42,000 a year in rent, and you want to go up 30%? $12,000, and I'm gonna go around to my tenants, and the buildings are not full, go around to remaining tenants and say, the airport authority doesn't feel that you're paying enough.
Okay, but here's the answer to that, okay? Your leases are long-term. This increase would only apply to those people who wanted a more secure lease for a longer term, okay? And eventually would apply to you when you want to renew your leases at the expiration of terms, which I think are 18 to 20, 30 years away.
Then you've just changed the whole title arrangement at the airport. You slipped it back and forth here where nobody's gonna know who's on first base when you go out. When the fellow's got the T-hanger, goes down and walks into the bank and tries to finance a sale, you can just imagine what he's gonna run into as soon as the word gets out.
Well,
as soon as it gets out.
Not if you have a consistent plan and policy set in place for a lease renewal. I mean, you're not hurting anybody's current situation with their bank or their current lease. If you're offering a renewal that's longer term, stronger, something the bank wants to see, and all it's doing is changing the lease rate, okay? That's the least minor option. And again, I'm focusing on a stronger lease arrangement, but puts the investor in a stronger position than they are now. Longer term, hopefully. Wes, you've been up and down.
Well, it's. I'd like to make a couple observations and a suggestion to speak to what Judge McLaughlin has said. You guys are obviously stuck between asking the city for money, who doesn't want to give you any the money.
Oh, we have.
And we have. Asking the tenants who have leases that they could, you know, we can all sit pat and watch the ship sink, you know, watch you guys struggle. I know the tenants are probably pretty reasonable people, but obviously it's not in our interest to give something without getting something. And so, you know, I'm here to hear what you guys formulate as you know, a reasonable, whatever you think a future lease ought to be, and take that back to the people in my condo association and discuss that. Speaking to Judge McLaughlin's input, I would like to suggest that you should invite a member of the banking community here to speak about their concerns and so you can pick their brain. And I don't know if there's somebody from the mortgage underwriting or mortgage insurance community that would have something valuable to say. You know, we have clearly lived with the leases we have, however they're written, for a long time, and when you propose change, obviously the more information you bring to the table, the easier it is to decide whether or not that's to our advantage or not. I don't think it's to our advantage to see the airport staff cut down to, say, just Mr. Bork. But on the other hand, you know, you're kind of in the situation of asking your father for money. And I always had problems with those discussions. You know, my father was never very cooperative.
Well, ideally, it's not the authority's problem. It's not the tenant's problem. It's not the business it's our problem. The entire airport community needs to come to terms on long term. Do we want to continue to maintain this airport to its current condition? It'd be very simple for me to fire a tech and save $30,000 a year. We're already talking about replacing our admin staff with part-time and saving $20,000 a year. And the person we hire potentially may not receive any benefits whatsoever. That would save us a whole lot of that, $15,000 a year. So there's things we're doing. Okay, we're cutting corners. But the services of the airport authority will go down. Now, that may not be noticeable to most of you, but eventually it will. We don't want to turn into a Jaffrey where I don't even want to land there. I'll get a nick in my prop or something. We're a long ways from that, but we still need to maintain our facilities, from mowing to plowing to having the people there to open up after a snowstorm. We've all benefited from that. So it's our problem, okay? Do we take a small measure? I mean, what's number two on our income? It's fuel flow fees. Bump those up, okay? We can get that $50,000 just by making the FBOs pay a bigger price, which increases your cost for your fuel. So the bottom line is we just need a small increment of income, not to make a ton of money for the airport authority, but enough to take care of the essential needs of our users.
Why is that the user's responsibility? I mean, we pay $35,000 a year in taxes at the airport.
Yep.
We don't even get, we have no children going to school. We get zip back. And we're not ashamed to go to the city and ask them to contribute to $50,000-$70,000 deficit. That's a couple of tires on the snowplow.
We had three of us.
And you didn't do it right, and they turned you down.
Right.
And we're going to get a new mayor. Things are going to happen. There's no sense in feeling it. We've got to turn around and change the whole dynamics here of the National Airport title by taking the leases and slide. This is going to be here. This is going to be so much different. We're going to, for $60,000 or $80,000. I mean, you know, you can pass this off and say, well, we can get more fuel forward. They're paying 9 cents a gallon now. How much are these users at the airport going to be squeezed, that are tenants, to pay for a deficit that, you know, that's brought about here because the airport authority has consistently told the city of Nashville, we don't need any money from you. We don't need it. I mean, you turn around and you buy three houses down here that cost $245,000 or whatever it is a piece.
It costs us $20,000 a piece.
How much?
$20,000 a piece.
Our portion.
It costs us $20,000 and $23,000.
Cash.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand. But in addition to that, it took off the tax rolls of the city of Nashua $2,500 to $3,000 each house. Times three forever. For what?
So
what I'm saying to you is this.
Okay, well, you asked a question. I want to answer it.
Yeah.
Those houses were number one on our safety priorities for this airport. That's not our safety priorities, but the FAA's safety priorities.
Well, FAA.
When you put those houses up there with a $450,000 asphalt program or a $300,000 master plan, guess what gets funded first? The house. Those houses had, because they came to us and offered it and the DOT became aware of it, those houses became the number one obstacle to our future improvements or maintenance for this airport, okay? It became the number one safety priority for practically all of New England, okay? Because the houses happen to be in a brand new runways RPZ, okay? And you know what? Obstacles in the RPZ are extremely high priority for the FAA. And that's why we ran after those. We had, our consultants were advising us, we had to get those, they became available, they came to public knowledge, we had to get them off the plan. And you know what? Probably in hindsight, the best thing would have been if they'd sold it to somebody else who wouldn't even talk to the airport authority. So that's the answer to that.
Well, that might justify buying stuff we don't need, and And so we bought it, and but it's cost the city of Nashua $3,000 a piece times $3,000 forever to satisfy the FAA saying that the new runway approach requires this and this and this and this and that. Well, why should we pay for it? Why should these people that own the T-Hanger pay for it? I don't see the logic. I can see the city paying. You know, you go to them and say, listen, the FAA says you got to do this. But I think we're talking in circles here. The point.
Well, no, I think we're saying the same thing. I think that we can blame our predecessors, okay? But the number one priority on our list was to get the city to fund our 2016 FAA project. We were successful in doing that. We're going to keep that up every year. We're going to keep the city, we're going to continue to push the city. And one of the justifications were that we spend $720,000 in taxes. You have to show support for the airport by giving a bit back. So we have our automatic liaison in support of our request. We have a mayor. I think it's a shoe-in. We're going to get that. Next year, we're going to hit them again with another capital improvement fair share. But what they're holding back on, no way. You know, they're not going to help us with our operational budget. Our past mistakes, we haven't gone. I guess you might say, I'm on public record, they're going to listen to this, is that we're training ourselves in the city government to help finance the airport fairly, a fair share for our capital improvements.
Shane.
Yeah, I'd like to just offer a comment, Mr. Chairman. You've asked for some recommendations in terms of something you might be able to use to go back to the city with. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I think that may have been alluded to earlier by Madette or Sandy, perhaps by you, in comments you made about asking the city for money in the past and a tax issue we had. And I think you may have been referring to this. In looking at, and so when the town fathers say to the airport authority, to members of the board, you're only getting a nickel a foot plus the CPI, or it's 10 cents a foot for those leases that qualify for that provision or whatever. Please don't lose sight of this. Prior to the administration of Mayor Jim Dodges, it was either during his first or his second term, and many of you will remember this, or some of you may remember Joe Carter, perhaps. The land that we leased from the Airport Authority was only subject to one fee, if you will, to an entity. And that fee was the land rent that we paid to the authority. During the administration of Jim Dodges, he advocated for the city assessor to tax the land that we were already renting from the city of Nashua. So not only did we now pay what we were already contractually obligated to pay to you because of our leases.
What year was this?
1989.
We were also, pardon me?
1989.
Thank you. I thought it was but I wasn't sure. 1989. So there's more to this. So not only then were we not only paying the land rent, which we still paid the authority under our leases, but the city of Nashua started taxing us on their land that they leased to you when you subleased to us.
Which is more than your land lease.
Well, there's more to this now. They started taxing the land itself. We're not talking about the buildings, but if I just leased a lot for some reason or other I haven't built on, I now, as of 1989, had to pay taxes to the city of Nashua. Thank you to Mayor Dodges for moving the assessor to tax me. That's separate from any building that I have. Now, I don't know what the taxes are. That was a long time ago, but they were not trivial, and they were probably every bit of a nickel a foot.
Right.
That we ended up having to pay over and above the land rent. And that's aside from building taxes. So the city of Nashua got rent from us. In effect, you can call it what you will, but they did get that, and they started taxing. That was of such a, of such important significance to the airport at the time, where you recall, that we, the users, brought suit against the city. And it was quite a lawsuit. And it went on and it went to trial. We won a trial, the city appealed, correct me if I'm wrong, and it went up to the New Hampshire Supreme Court. The New Hampshire Supreme Court said yes. And this is probably, Roy, help me out, it was by 1991 that the appeals were finally decided on 92. We used to meet at Jim Ward's office.
Yeah, I was still in the tower, so it was before September of 91.
But the New Hampshire Supreme Court came back, and the decision that was not a majority decision in this country, but that's that a municipality can tax land that it leases to you. It can lease you the land and say, oh, by the way, we're going to tax it too. And that's what they did. So my point to you is this, is that there is a little bit of water over the dam here, insofar as you perhaps having some more tools in your toolkit when you do sit down with the city.
To clarify, they've always taxed the building, but they were in 89 is taxed, added the land to that.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
They started doing that, and they do now, so they receive revenue in addition to that. Now, I know to you, that money doesn't come to you. And I would have suggested, and we did at the time, although we were involved, I say we, the users, had a large lawsuit. We had the user community that banded together. Did advocate to the city, Sandy, at the time, in 89, listen, that money is going to you. How about helping out the airport? And I don't know what the sequela of that was. But
What assessed value? How did they arrive at assessed value for the land?
Yes, okay, and that's a good question. So originally, at the time of this lawsuit in 89, it was at 100% valuation. We reached an accommodation as a result of the appeal to the Supreme Court with the city of Nashua. And again, Roy, help me fill in the blanks, and Dad, you remember, because we were one of the plaintiffs in the case, as well as many, many others here at the airport. The city reached an agreement part-time, Director Jackson, I'm going to say for 5 years, it might have been for seven, where instead of that full assessed valuation of the lot that we leased from the airport authority, it was at 1/3.
I forget the percentage.
It was about that. Now it has gone to full price. And that was a limit. The city said, well, okay, we'll back off and we'll, as an accommodation or perhaps an inducement for us to not continue.
Well, I was thinking of what comparables could they use for, what comparables could they use to
precisely our point at the time, because this land is highly restricted land that's inside the fence. We have the grant assurances, we have the airport 5190-6B, the airport use requirements that we've all struggled with the last couple of years. There is no comp because there's only one airport.
I think what they used was commercial warehousing. So if you owned a commercial warehouse, that's what they based the airport on.
Arbitrary.
That's actually our next door neighbor, the law warehouse.
Yeah,
across
yeah.
The
very possibly that's why they did it.
So
I don't know what they use now. That may or may not be the case now. Yeah.
I was unaware that it went from 30 to...
Of course, you realize he's running for mayor again.
I do. and this was, that was not a gratuitous statement. It just,
no,
but
I understand.
It was very real, and it was very disappointing to us at the airport at the time that had actually happened. And from the mayor's office at the time, it was a complete dismissal, and no, we've got a right to tax. We're just going to do it.
Okay, so I do want to put a limit to this meeting. I think we could be here all night. So I want
to help you.
Yes, it did. And it's information, it's historical information that we're very thankful to have. So I'd like to wrap things up in the next 10 minutes if the other board members agree. But to sum it up, what I'm hearing pretty much is, you know, maybe we've had tunnel vision so far in looking at the lease rates as the source to our woes. And I still think that we need to substantiate our leases and so that we can be defend them, okay, if necessary. But we may also need to approach the city. And the question I would have is, how do we go about that? We need to develop a strategy to our aldermen, hopefully a lot of our aldermen are going to be here on the 29th. We can talk to them about our budget and start working on a presentation. But I'd like to ask anybody, what's the first step on getting legislation before the alderman or to at least establish a minimum support every year from them so that we can maintain our budget requirements? I mean, it seems like we've got a legitimate reason to you know, we pay $744,000 in taxes, we get nothing back.
Yes. So I'd like to respond to that. I think you've taken the first step right now by even asking the question of the users. That's a question that we haven't heard as users from coming from the authority, and I welcome the comment. And beyond that, I'd like to suggest that you might consider, and I'm sure there are others in the room that may have other suggestions, but you might consider putting together a working group at your earliest convenience. We do have the 29th coming up, to put our heads together to that end in terms of what we can start advocating and talking points for the alderman we do have to speak with. I personally would be more than delighted to participate.
I'd love to, high on the list and up front is find an alderman or aldermans or women's who are in support of this, okay? I can tell you for a fact, I've met with Alderman Schoenemann. He is in support of our capital, the $22,500 for 2016. He will defend that for us, but he also feels that the airport should be self-funding, and that's the max he's going to recommend. So maybe we need to work on him a little bit too.
So I think the thing I hear a lot is that flying is a rich man's sport. Oh, everyone's rich. You know, people come in the restaurant all the time. I think that's a misconception for a lot of people. I think if we let people know somehow that it's not just for rich men. Wilkie flies, right? He's not rich. I'm not rich. We contribute a lot to the society, to the community. We have to let them know how much we contribute, and they have to be aware of how hard we all work and what we do here. So awareness, I think, you know, marketing, advertising, all of that, getting the information out there, that has to be the first step. We can't just all sit here and talk to a few people. You have to let everybody know. It has to build. So the community has to know. As far as the leases, Dennis, you know, I still believe wholeheartedly we do need a more general lease. An attorney has to be involved. I don't think that's a question. I don't think it's up to us at this point to interpret leases that you know, all of us may see differently. One lease, we need to find out for sure before any changes are made, especially of the users. They do pay a lot, and it may sound trivial, you know, sometimes when you say, oh, it's another so many cents, but you know, break it down. Like they said, they're paying, you know, land rent and building rent, and they're paying us, and they're paying, everything adds up. And because it is not a rich man's hobby, you know, every little bit matters to everybody here. It's, you know, and it does matter to us, and we do have a good community. So, you know, somehow we'll find a way to help each other. But it has to be in a civilized manner, and everybody has to work together and figure it out and agree. I think in the future, you know, leases definitely have to be a little more stringent. I'm still surprised by this lease that you say that the lawyer wrote. It's crazy. So that's my input on that. But I do think we have to somehow get the word out there, not just to the alderman and ask for money. But everybody has to understand what we contribute. The city.
I'd like to make a final comment, as far as I'm concerned, and that is, when you're talking politics, everything is timing. They've turned us down, turned you folks down. We didn't ask, you asked, they turned you folks down. There's no hope that you're going to be able to go in now. The budget's been submitted.
Yes.
It's over. Tout fini. We don't want to dissipate our effort on the basis of trying to convince all of them that I'm even running or I'm going to win. Too late. But the users I can assure you, if they're properly presented with their options, they will get behind the authority and meet with the Board of Aldermen, or the Aldermen, Alderwomen, individually or collectively, and help to support the position of the airport authority that we should get $100,000 a year, $150,000, or whatever it amounts to, of a budget of $250 million, it doesn't amount to a row of beans. But when I stand up and say, now listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're spending $85,000 a year, and all we're asking for is a total of $85,000, and we're just a taxpayer at the National Airport. They're turning me down, right? It's easy to turn you down.
Agreed.
It's going to be more difficult for them to turn down every single one that owns the T-hanger or owns the hangar at the National Airport, and I don't think they'll do it.
And understand that our strategy this year was laying the groundwork for next year and the following years. This year, every alderman out there was aware of all the controversy, the calls and stuff that had transpired during 2014. Everything, we're in the limelight. There's a lot of discussion about, you know, confusion about why we bought the two properties. There is talk about the S&P and what we're trying to do with that. There's talk about, you know, the qualifications of one of our directors. Everything was in the limelight, and we went in without the users, just as a group, okay, with $136,000, knowing we're likely to get zero, okay? And we did that, and a lot of people said, do whatever you want to, request what you want to, but don't request operating budget. We threw our operating budget in there too, okay? So we wanted them to see it. We wanted to have a history of asking them for support and working closely with them, doing what, you know, it's a matter of repair work, a little repair work to do. And next year, when we do request this, I think we do need to go a little bit more firmly, start planning and November, January for the November, December for the January submittal, and get the user support, okay? Because they won't just listen to us; they need to hear it from everybody.
The goal is to initiate the aeronautical fund.
No,
that's one of the goals. I mean, if I would argue the point of $8.6 million. I don't believe that's correct because it's 1/1,000. But anyway.
I'd like the
we're
city.
We're due with that money.
I don't want to go every year and justify things to the city. I'd like to go to the city. I'd like to somehow get the city to agree to give us $75,000 a year, which is nothing. But that's pretty much all we need. It allows us to plan our future projects.
If we get 10% of our taxable income back,
that would be perfect.
It'd be $75,000 a year, and that grows every year. Yeah, that's the ultimate plan.
So, final comments.
A couple of quick questions.
Yes, sir.
And this might be outside the venue, but doesn't the city have to go through a reval every 10 years?
Yeah.
On property values. Yeah. And where is that now, and where is it heading? I think we spiked there for a while, and then it's dropped again, has it not? And is it continuing to drop, or is it... But that has an effect on the users in as much as what you have to pay in property tax. And the other question I have that sort of comes to my mind is what is the condition of some of these properties that are being taxed? Are they deteriorating? Are the users able to maintain them? Are they under such duress now that they're no longer able to maintain the value of their properties? So all of this has an effect on them. That's what I'm thinking. You know, I mean, so I'm concerned about: do we have properties here on the airport that are that really need upgrading or helping? And what can the Airport Authority do in that regard?
And then pay for it?
No. But I'm just saying. You know, I think we're all in the same boat, and it's not the Titanic. we have some perhaps properties here that, that may be in need of resurrection somehow.
What sort of supply and demand? Okay, if they're not able to do the job, they're not going to rent them out. Okay, so I guess that's kind of what everybody's hoping is that people do their own improvements and so they can collect more rent or improve their businesses. But yes, somehow that needs to be tagged into the lease renewals. That's something that needs to be evaluated.
Like
if
I
we
said,
have
it's,
the opportunity.
It's somewhat outside of the thinking, but at the same time, if you are a property owner, you have to also consider the condition of your property.
Right. So I think we've had enough to think about. I appreciate everybody's comments and input. We've all learned a lot. This isn't going to be over, but I don't think it's going to be. I do think that even though we don't take any action towards leases or rates, we need to prepare for lease renewals and possibly hire an attorney to look at our leases and make sure that if somebody comes to us within 30 days, we can implement a renewal. So I'm sure we'll take this up again at the next normal meeting. So with that said, any last comments for public input?
Can I just add one thing?
Yes.
A strategy that we may want to consider going through next year's budget process, it might be similar to what Keene does, where the airport manager is not an employee of the authority, but it's funded by the city. In the city of Keene, the airport manager is funded by the city. So perhaps we could do the same thing next year. That would help substantially.
Can I offer some insight on that?
Yeah.
I work with the city, with the airport manager at Keene, because we fly aerobatics out there. And Farrell and I spent some time with the city council of Keene this spring. I would offer the caution that when the city is the person, is the entity that kind of guides and provides a salary to the airport manager, that person may be very well intentioned, but their loyalty is going to be to the city and the mayor and
exactly.
And that political structure. So you may find, as we did, that the political pressures from City Hall lead you to an airport manager who's saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't have certain kinds of aeronautical activities at the airport because the neighbors create political pressure at City Hall, where you get direction sent to the airport manager saying, maybe there shouldn't be so much flying. So that's the danger with that approach. I appreciate that would be a funding source, but I hope you appreciate that there are strings attached to that.
Definitely. We
would like the funding without the strings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said that to my father once.
Well, to Mike's point, though, the same concept could be applied to the other employees, though. Perhaps the public works department. Let's face it, they're compatible positions.
And maybe we don't need to have the number of techs we have if we know we can pool against the DPW reservoir when we have a major storm. But I think they're all flat out too. It's nice having our own control. So anyway, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Yes, we do.
Gordon, second.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those
opposed?
Thank you, everybody.
Aye. There you go.